This is GPB. I'm Leah Fleming. Imagine that you haven't eaten in several days. What would you be thinking about? Food, of course. Well, the craving for food that you would feel is actually the brain's mechanism that drives you to survive. That is how many people describe what it's like to be addicted to opiates. Sam Snodgrass is one person who knows all about that craving too well. Snodgrass was addicted to heroin back in the late 1970s, and then came meth. All of this happened while he was working to study the effects of the brain on drugs as part of his postdoctoral fellowship to become a behavioral pharmacologist. Snodgrass picks up the story from there in my conversation with him from Little Rock, Arkansas, where he sits on the board of directors for Broken No More GRASP, an organization which helps with substance abuse recovery.
We were doing research in the behavioral pharm lab with just about every known drug that people like to use. And among those were a number of opiates. There had been a bottle of methadone hydrochloride, that's powdered methadone, and it had been rolling around in a drawer in the lab. And it wasn't in the safe. Most of the other drugs were always in the safe, but this one was just rolling around in a drawer, and I watched it rolling around that drawer for almost 2 years. And then one day I got into it, and I did something with that methadone that I hadn't done with the heroin or the Dilaudid, which is I started using it every day, and I started increasing my dose with it. And the whole time I was using that methadone, shooting that methadone, I told myself that when I finished that methadone, I would stop. And I really believed I could. But when I finished that bottle of methadone, I could not stop. I couldn't. Oh, and that started a 22-year run of addiction for me.
When you were using methadone, you said you found out that you could not stop, and that's because of the way opiates work in the brain. Tell us more about that. How do opiates work in the brain?
Okay, that's a great question. We are born with what is called an endogenous opioid system. Endogenous means from within. Right now, everybody that's listening to this has what are called endorphins. I'll just go with that one family. There are a number of different families of neuropeptides which interact with this system, but we'll go with just call them all endorphins. These endorphins are chemical structures that are just naturally occurring in your brain, and they bind with opioid receptor sites, which exist along neurons and form circuits within the brain. One of these circuits is connected to what is known as the pleasure or survival circuit within the brain. What happens with somebody, let's just as an example, takes a couple of hydrocodones. Those two hydrocodones flood the brain with far more opioids than the brain could ever produce on its own. And so we get, for those of us who are sensitive to the effects of these opioids, to the euphoria, we get a qualitatively different euphoria than we have ever felt before. It is like, wow, where has this been all my life? And our second thought is, wow, why can't I feel like this the rest of my life?
So is it all opioids like fentanyl and heroin and OxyContin? Is it all the same, or do they each one of them kind of do something different?
No, there's all a basic opioid feeling to all of these. Yes, they're all a little bit different. They're all going to give slightly different effects. But the main thing is that they all produce that same type of opioid euphoria in us. Of course, again, there are some differences within them. We can tell whether we've taken hydrocodones or we've taken heroin, but that underlying euphoria is still there.
Is the brain forever altered by opioid abuse?
That's a very good question, and nobody really knows the answer to that one. The most I've seen is they've done some functional magnetic resonance imaging studies of people who haven't used opioid for 4 or 5 years, and there were still significant changes within the brain, even after that time. Whether the brain ever goes back to the way it was before somebody became addicted, altered their brain from a non-addicted to an addicted state with opioids, nobody can answer that one at this point. Okay. This is really is a lifelong chronic condition.
Should someone be concerned if a doctor prescribes an opiate for pain? Like, what questions should we ask? How do we know if we'll become addicted? I know I was just prescribed an opiate for a shoulder cuff injury at the gym, but I've really been afraid to take it. I have taken it, but I've been afraid of that. What would you say?
Okay. That's really a fairly easy thing to answer. If you take it and you don't really like it, then you're probably not going to have a problem with it. We don't do things that don't make us feel good. We tend to not do them. If you take that opioid and it's like the sun came out from a rainy day, it's like you're feeling this great, wonderful feeling, then that's probably a sign that you should be very careful. So if you take these things and they make you feel great, you know, that's a sign. The really crucial sign is if you go from, say, 2 a day to 4 a day, and then you go from 4 to 6. Tolerance is a sign, a signal that you are changing the structure of your brain. And if you don't stop, and you don't stop now, you may very well not be able to stop. Most of us get to a point to where we're not getting that euphoria anymore. We've reached a point to where all we're trying to do is to remain functional. So we go out, we do whatever we have to do to get enough to make it through the day. And then we get up tomorrow and we do the same thing. It is really like being on a hamster wheel. And for so many of us, we can't figure a way to get out or off of that hamster wheel.
But you actually did get off the wheel and you are now opiate free, aren't you? You're drug free?
At this point, yes, at this point, but I have to emphasize very much that just because I'm not using today does not mean I will not be using next week. I cannot promise you that next week that won't be me. I'm not on medication. If I was on buprenorphine, if I was on methadone, I could make that promise to you, but I'm not, so I can't.
Sam Snodgrass is a behavioral pharmacologist. He has not used opiates in over 5 years. He joined us on Skype from Little Rock, Arkansas. Thank you so much, Sam, for your time.
Thank you for having me.